Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, back on the show. Thank you for joining us. And with us now, University of Miami women's basketball coach Katie Meyer, coming off a huge road win against Clemson and a couple of big games coming up at home, finishing up the regular season against Pittsburgh and Georgia Tech. As we come down the home stretch off a 56-50 win over Clemson, I know you just love this time of the season, everything. Actually, I know you love all parts of it, but this is the time of the year where you are grinding through everything, and every possession, every film study, everything matters so much. There's just every nerve is on alert, and you love this time of the year, right?
Oh, I absolutely do. It's my staff. It helps to have a great staff. I mean, they've been just incredible, and helping me with the analytics and what plays the call and lineups and, you know, every factor. You know, you feel responsible for everything this time of year. And so we want to make sure if it's on us that we're going to come through.
Let's go back to the game against Clemson. Another big one for Jasmine Roberts. You sweep the series with Clemson, but that's not an easy place to win. And not an easy place to win at Clemson, South Carolina.
No, it's not. And we say, you know, in ACC road wins, they count triple. I mean, they're just huge. And we've gotten a few of them this year that have been really memorable and meaningful. But this one, our backs are against the wall. We were down some players in the game and had some weird things happen. And just everybody just stepped up and fought. And I loved how we closed out the game. I thought we were very poised, very confident. And, you know, Jasmine Roberts was just incredible.
Well, that's some players just have that unique way, right? When games matter the most, or the big game arrives, the big moment arrives, they just say, it's my time.
It was funny. I wish you could have been in our huddles, because Clemson was playing a zone and they matched up at certain points. And, we were figuring out as a staff, but trying to communicate it to the team and trying to figure out like how we could get Jazz free. And so, you know, you're making up plays. I mean, you're making up like wrinkles in your play, and the players are staring at you like, what do you mean? I'm like, just trust me, just this play, add a new wrinkle to it. And Jazz was like, I don't understand. And I said, Jazz, of all people, you need to understand, because it's for you. Like, this is for you to get open. So figure it out. And at one point I left the huddle to talk to my staff some more. I gave the clipboard to Julia Williams and I like, Leah, you draw this out. I got to go talk to the staff about, you know, our lineups and stuff. So it was hilarious. It was just all hands on deck, whatever it took.
Yeah, well, that's the time of the year, all hands on deck. 17-10 overall, 7-9 in the ACC. Your net top 50, top 35 strength of schedule. So right. You're coming in with another great closing argument.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe we're actually kind of in – last year, you know, our net wasn't even as high as it is this year, and it's just hard. I mean, you figure the net, you try to game the net, you schedule the non-conference, and we have some significant power wins. I think, our non-conference schedule going 10-1 was huge, and even that loss was just Baylor, and so they've been playing well. So, you know, you never know, but it's like, you know, I would not have ever imagined that, we'd be sitting here worried with a top 50 net. But the best part is we can make our own statement. I mean, you know, right now, there's no question there's at least 9 teams from the ACC in the tournament, probably 10. We got 10 in the top 62, and we're sitting at 48. So We're in great shape. We're in great shape, but we have two home games and we need the crowd. We need an extra push. You know, the legs are at this time of year, you know, practices are just, you know, you cut them in half. I mean, there's only so much you can do. You know, we got players playing 38, 40 minutes a game and you got to take care of them, but you got to get your game plan in. So we need the crowd, the emotion. And, you know, you know this about me, the most excited team wins at this time of the year. And we need to be super, super excited on Thursday and Sunday.
Thursday, 6 o'clock, it's Pittsburgh coming in. What challenge do they present to you?
Well, the thing about Pittsburgh is they have a great defense. They change their defenses a lot. They're tough. They have a really special player in Leah Tukeing, and she's, you know, had a double. They scored, I think, 53 points against Syracuse, and they had Syracuse on the ropes at Syracuse, and she had 29 of their 53. So just an incredibly special player that presents a lot of problems, a real matchup problem for us. So, you know, they're a hungry team, which has so much – I have so much respect for them. They had a tough schedule. They have a new coach, but they're hungry right now. Like when Virginia was hungry when we played at Virginia, and we just need to be hungrier. I mean, we need to know what's on the line, and our veterans need to step up.
And then Sundays, always your favorite day of the year. I say that, you know, it's a senior day, and I know it's always emotional for you.
It's always so emotional, you know. Yeah. You know, I made a promise to myself a long time ago that every year you dedicate the year to your seniors. I mean, it's, you know, when you want to get, you know, a little bit more sleep and you say, you know what, I'm going to stay up for Jada. I'm going to do this for Jada. Like this is her last go around. Or, I think, and then we have Sophia who actually underwent knee surgery today, unfortunately, as a walk on and, is going to be there in crutches on senior night. So yeah, I'm going to be very emotional. Just for them, and also for the journey that I've been blessed to be a part of. It's really personal when somebody chooses you. You know, they choose to spend their college time, whether it's a year, whether it's 2 years, whatever, with you. It's very personal in recruiting. It's very personal with their families, and so I feel very honored when I can, you know, let them know how much they're appreciated.
But isn't that what makes you stand out? Right, the fact that. You connect with your players not only yesterday and today, but also tomorrow and next year and the year after that.
Well, I do. I think it's, you know, leaders choose different paths, and I choose to be very vulnerable. I choose to let them know when my feelings are hurt. I choose to let them know when I'm disappointed in them. I choose to let them know when I love them. I don't hold anything back. And, you know, come what may, you know, I'd rather just have an authentic relationship with my players and always, you know, tell them what I think, my version of the truth, but just let them know that they're loved, they're safe, and that I have the utmost respect for them and what they're going through. So, you know, it's hard these days. It's really hard, but, you know, I just have so much love and respect for the people who are willing to just fight through the journey and, you know, always dare to be, you know, better the next day than they were yesterday. Like, it's a big deal right now in our culture. And I just love to be somebody who just reminds them that they're better, you know, they can be better than what they are and just keep pushing.
Yeah, because I think sometimes what gets lost in all this is, yes, obviously everybody's all in to win, and in order to win, the players have to play at a certain level. But it's the coaches that are helping the players get to that level, right? I mean, sometimes maybe
right.
Players
well,
don't
I
always
think,
understand yeah. that, but that's what a coach is trying to do. It's like yeah. that old line in the movie, "Let me help you."
Yeah, hey, I'm on your side, right? Like we are not on two different sides of the equation, but that's what I think's funny because you do have to coach where they are too. Like I don't think you can get away with anymore saying, "Well, I'm the coach because I said so." You know, you do have to explain. They have to know that you care about them. They have to know why. You know, when I get really intense and mad, I don't want them to think, "Oh, coach is just in a bad mood." I'm going to show them why. You know what? I'm really disappointed. I expect a heck of a lot more from you than this effort. Like, this is not ACC elite level effort. Trust my experience. You know, it doesn't mean I don't like you. It doesn't mean I'm trying to rip your confidence from you. But, you know, I am going to set the standard, and there's going to be there's no ceiling on this program, but there's definitely a floor. And we're not going below a certain level ever. Like, that is just not Miami basketball. And I will hold that standard. And I will, you know, like I said, I'll take whatever hit that takes because I just have a lot of pride in what we've done. And I feel like players these days and just young people these days, they need some boundaries. They need someone who says, "Hey, this is what I expect. You know, get it done. And usually you get a pretty darn good response when you stay consistent with that.
The Heat had a big win last night. They went on the road. I didn't see the game, but they beat the Kings. I do have a point here, and then
I was going to say, no, you weren't watching. So.
I was on an airplane. I think licking our wounds.
But a heck of an effort, golly! That was a great beautiful effort, in Chapel Hill. That was such a fun game. But anyway, continue your story.
Okay, so my point would be this: Spoelstra has to play with a bunch of different players, it seems like, all the time. But that seems to be the nature of the NBA because of trades and free agency. Therefore, a lot of people say in the NBA that the plays that they call, the stuff that they're running, the sets that they're running, are pretty much what everybody runs. So that when new guys come in, they've already run the same thing that they were running in New York or New Jersey or whatever. Yep. Do you think you will see more of that in college basketball because of the way the transfers are set up now?
Well, I do think that you have to have a system that's pretty adaptable. Now, everyone's language is different. I know my language is different because we made so much of it, just made it up based on just the action and just using a different term so that we could call it out loud instead of calling something like a flare. We call it something else so that, a backdoor cut, we have a code word for that so that we can just yell it out and the other team doesn't know. So I think that, but the action itself, for sure. And I think you're seeing, the intricate high level motion offenses that take, two or three years to get involved. And I think you're going to see less of that in college. I really do. I think you're going to have a more adaptable system that someone can pick up a little bit sooner.
So because you don't have them, might not have them for that long, right?
Exactly. And there's, unfortunately, there's just not a lot of patience in the world either way. There's not a lot of patience for somebody who's like, I'm willing to sit on the bench. I think about Destiny Harden, and I'll be very honest with you. Destiny transferred in and she had to sit a year, and that was what made Destiny Harden the player that she became. She needed a year to understand the difference between the West Virginia program and the Miami program. And that year she would have wasted. But she took it. She learned. She watched videos. She met with coaches even though she wasn't playing. She pretended like she was getting ready for every game mentally and emotionally. And, you saw this huge transformation in her game to the point where I was sitting with the West Virginia assistant after we made that Elite Eight run on the road recruiting. And he said, I am so proud of Destiny, but I got to give you guys a lot of credit for her development. And I said, listen, it was that year she needed it. And so I think those are the things that's getting missed a little bit in the way everybody's impatient right now in college athletics.
I was talking with somebody about Stanford and Cal and SMU coming in to the ACC, and a lot of focus has been on football and not as much basketball, but in particular in women's basketball, Stanford has quite a program. If they were to have the tournament right now, they are number one seed. So already have half the ACC is in the top 25, and now here comes Stanford. That's a number one seed.
That was a big day. I think honestly, to add, just even the tradition, and Tara Vanderveer is just Olympic coach. 1,200 wins. Like she, when she passed Coach K and then number one wins. She's just an incredible woman. She's just brilliant, and she runs a really classy program. So I didn't think the ACC could get better because, I'm really seriously, 10 of the 15 teams have every right to be in this NCAA tournament, and that is just not shop talk. That's for real. And then you add three more teams that, with Stanford being one, that could win a national championship year in and year out. So, we got better.
And then I saw this note. I know you'll smile. It's not your conference, but Big Ten women's basketball tournament sold out first time ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, the Caitlin Clark effect. But I think it's really the heyday in women's basketball. We talked about this last time we were on. I do believe it has name recognition. I really do believe if you were walking down the street and you said, name three people in college basketball, two of the three names are probably going to be women, and that's a big transformation right now for our sport. But I think it's the marketability, it's the staying longer, it's the fan bases getting a little bit more personal with the connections with the players, and it's just been great.
Well, you did point out the Caitlin Clark effect, and of course, she is at the center of about everything that seems to happen, and there's always a response to a response to whatever she does, but she seems to be built to handle whatever defense is tossed at her or whatever is said about her or not said about her or apologized to be said about her and all the other stuff. But it's been interesting to watch.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's just such a competitor, but she's, you know, somewhat stoic. And I think there's a, you know, where do you go with your emotion when you're at this level? You know, like where do you go? But I think most of her emotion is tied up in the competitor that she is. I mean, whatever emotional state she needs to be in to be successful, she just goes there. And I think there's a real lesson there too, because some people think, well, they're just going to play hard and, you know, really want to win. And sometimes that, you know, isn't the emotion that's necessary at the time. And I think she can really put herself and just transcend the game. And that's an incredibly strong, mentally tough competitor.
Yeah, it's almost been, how am I going to say this? She is, everything's been great for her and great for the sport. But no matter what she does, she's drawing a comparison. I'm looking at one today where they're talking about her and Pete Maravich and how they should be celebrated. I haven't been able to dive into that, but man alive, she has been forced. She gets more angles tossed at her than almost any athlete out there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's and there's some great coaches. I mean, there are some great coaches that have done everything they can with some great teams that have tried to slow her down. But I mean, when it's a little bit, you got the Steph Curry range, you know, and then you've got comparatively a bigger, taller body. So you think of like Larry Bird, and you just start putting like some of the greats that ever played, the competitiveness of Jordan, and then you just start putting it all together. Like, wow, this is a heck of a package. You know, she's really, really special.
Okay, you have Pittsburgh on Thursday night, 6 o'clock at the Watsco Center, and then on Sunday we've got Georgia Tech coming to town for the final. I can't believe it's a final regular season home game. That's where the time go. 2 o'clock on Sunday, 6 o'clock on Thursday. Two enormous games for the University of Miami women's basketball team. And last year at this time, it was your time, and you had two games at home. So I hope a lot of people come out there and see this, see you play.
Heck yeah. I mean, when you got up in August and you were getting up at 6 a.m. and you were doing, you know, running on the track and on the field, and do on your shoes and everything else, you were hoping to have a chance to be playing yourself into the tournament or protecting a bid that I think we currently have. I mean, that's where we're at. Like, there's 350 teams that want to be in the position we're in. So I just want the community to get excited and come out and support us and give our girls an extra boost, because it is that time of year where, you know, fatigue makes a coward of us all. And if you give into the fatigue, you start losing your courage. And boy, we need to be courageous and brave, and we need to go for it these next two games.
Yeah, two things. One, we saw how the success of the team last year united our community. So we hope that the community will come out and support the final two games. And then my last thing for you would be, it's funny because you said all this stuff, you know, you start in July and August, and no matter how many times you probably tell your team, hey, you only get 30 of these or 32 or 33, whatever the number is. It originally starts off as, oh, that's a marathon. That's a lot. 30, 33, whatever. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're down in the final two. It's like, oh, damn, where'd they all go?
Exactly. Exactly. Right? And I mean, I think that the great thing about basketball versus, like, I think college football is that the model is, even if you're not having a great season, and we are having another great season, but even if you're not, there's always a motivated team. I think that's the thing about, if you're coaching a team at the bottom of the conference right now, you say, hey, we get on a little run here, get in the ACC tournament, we win the tournament. You know, so in basketball, there's still always a fired up team. Nobody feels like their season is done. So it's a big threat if you're one of those traditional teams that's NCAA bid, 20 win seasons, expecting that. You run into somebody who doesn't have that record. But right now, everyone is fired up. Everyone realizes that all they got to do is a mini sprint right now, and they can have a memory that lasts a lifetime. So you can't get complacent.
All right. Well, we'll see. That magic carpet, you never know when it knocks on the door. It's out there swirling somewhere.
Let's do it. Yep.
Yep. It's out there swirling. It's looking for someone to raise their hand. Thanks for being with us. I'll see you on Thursday.
Okay, Joe. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. All right, that's University of Miami head coach Katie Meyer joining us on the show. When we come back, we'll go into hour number two, and J.D. Arteaga will be the leadoff hitter of hour number two, so don't go away.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.